It's been a little while since you guys have heard from me. I've had some stuff happening in the background that I need to take care of, and during this period, the podcast has had to take a bit of a step back. It's been a very interesting time, a testing time, and I've been utilizing the methods, the tools, and principles that we've discussed on this podcast. They work, guys. Many of them work, and they work very efficiently and effectively. It's not something I want to get into tonight, however, I will make some time in the near future to unpack that a little bit more. I had the pleasure of sitting down with the Metamines boys a little while ago. They're good young Aussie guys, and I went to their little studio on the other side of Brisbane and made my YouTube video debut. Don't hesitate to check those guys out on Metamines on YouTube. Really cool guys doing their thing, hustling and exploring excellent ideas. I sat down with them and we discussed the origin story of both of our podcasts, where podcasts are going, where they'll potentially take us, and some of these tools and principles that I spoke about earlier. It was really excellent to sit down with these guys. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to have conversations like these. I will sit down with those guys again in the future. We're not going anywhere. We're still here. We'll be back with a vengeance in the near future. I really appreciate your time and patience. You know, the downloads are still coming, so that's very humbling, and I'm very appreciative of that. There's plenty of stuff to talk about, plenty of guests, plenty of awesome topics, and we'll get back into it soon. However, for now, enjoy this podcast with Dan and Eamon, the boys from Metamines. Don't forget to check out the show notes for all their links. They're on Instagram, Facebook, all the social media sites. As always, thanks to Rowdy for the music. I think Bathe in the Sun and Demons in My Mind, and not too sure which order, but they'll definitely be the songs for this one. As always, thanks to Jono for the intro, and thanks to you guys, the listeners. I hope all is well. Stay safe, be cool, and we'll talk soon. Cheers.
Have I burned up? Have I blackened the ground? Will I fight back, find my strength? Have been gold, tomorrow losing their shine. Will I give up? I doubt it. I never turned to the bottle to wash away the demons in my mind. I stood up and knocked them down. Though I had a struggle, the colored eyes of the kind, now they have built me up. I've always had the answer. I'm not one to self-destruct. There's too many smiles that I love. And when my world comes crashing down, I get right back up. The brunt, I walk out of the road. Have I burned out? Have I blackened the ground? Will I fight back, find my strength again? Days have been gold, but tomorrow losing their shine. Will I give up? I doubt it. I never turned to the bottom to wash away the demons in my mind. I stood up and knocked them down. And if you wanna take burn out,
have I blackened the ground? Will I fight back, find my strength again? Days have been gold, but tomorrow lose and less shine. Will I give up? I doubt it. I give up, I doubt it. Will I give it all away? No way.
Welcome back to this special crossover episode with Triffin here, the host of Unlocking the Code. It's a bit of a crossover between MetaMinds and Unlocking the Code.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming along.
No worries. No worries. Very interesting. Very cool little setup. It's fascinating to see other people's setups. You know what I mean? I think collaborating with guys like yourself is important. You know, as a podcast universe, we got to, you know, look after each other and look out for each other, which I think is very
And
cool.
We haven't had a podcaster.
No, we haven't. Before, have First we? Podcaster.
So, there you go.
Fellow
you
go. Podcaster.
First fellow podcaster.
Yeah, so it is always interesting to learn from other people, basically. We'll steal your good bits, you steal our
Absolutely.
Good bits.
Absolutely, that's totally fine. That's totally fine.
That's exactly right. So would you be able to tell us maybe a little bit about Unlocking the Code and how you started that journey?
Yeah, sure. Look, Unlocking the Code, we're 80 episodes strong now. Started a bit over 2.5 years ago now. And it was interesting, back then there wasn't a lot of Aussie podcasts, really. You know what I mean? They were thin on the ground. Since then, obviously, Podcast One and they've flooded the market. There's thousands of them. However, basically the reason I started, I had a background in radio and stuff like that back in the late 90s. However, the reason I started it is that I was a teacher and found myself, I've been on a bit of a personal journey myself the last sort of 5 or 6 years. You know, I nearly died from a jungle virus in 2013, which sort of threw me on a different path. And what happened is found Joe Rogan, found Alpha Brain, found New Mood, that helped me out. And I thought I could do a podcast. And then I started teaching. And I found myself, when I was teaching more about, you know, mindfulness and personal development. And because I think as men especially, we're lacking in that. You know what I mean? And I think it's such an important topic. And I know you guys have spoken a lot about it in your podcast as well. And so I thought, okay, I've got to do this now. You know, and I've got a good bunch of brothers around me who like to come on and contribute, you know, whether it be behind the scenes or on the podcast itself. And, yeah, we jumped into it. And that was, over 2 years ago and 80 episodes ago and three incarnations of the studio ago and I think three lots of equipment ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's – but I think podcasting, there's a reason podcasting is the fastest growing medium, is that people are craving long-form conversation. You know, it's something that we don't have in this instant gratification world, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's a little bit about Unlocking the Code. And it's the reason it was Unlocking the Code is a funny story. The original name I had, I thought I was very clever, was going to be Excitandus, which is Latin for awakening. Mm-hmm. Now, if you put Excitandus into Instagram or any sort of things, very questionable things come up.
Oh, generally. Really?
Oh, true. Okay.
Yeah. So, so I came up with Unlocking the Code, you know, because I think these conversations and finding different perspectives is unlocking the code. You know what I mean? And I've listened to a fair few of your podcasts, you know, just because and the thing is, I'm a lover of podcasts. I think I subscribe to 47 podcasts
yes,
or something
like
that.
Too much content.
You know what I mean?
So I don't delete so many because I just don't have the time.
You can't get through it. You know what I mean? So it's always good to learn from different things. And it is a code. It's the code to life. I think that's what we're trying to do. You know what I mean? I think, you know, an exploration into how to navigate the chaos of life. You know, that's the aim. You know what I mean? Through either awareness or, you know, mental, what's the word I'm looking for?
Self-development?
Self-development, that sort of stuff, awareness, observation. Have also questions about our past, you know what I mean? Where did we come from? What is, you know, why are these giant structures all over the planet, you know what I mean? And then there's also a good bit of Aussie content thrown in where we just take the piss out of each other and have a bit of a laugh as well, which I think is important, you know what I mean? So what about you boys? What about MetaMinds? Because I was curious about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. So because Dan and I, we discuss it in deep in, I believe, episode 11, is that right?
Yeah, episode 11.
Mm. But we've basically sat on these two couches for, you know, as you mentioned, like you didn't know what was behind the camera, but there's just two couches.
Yeah.
And we just sat there for, I don't know, we've known each other for like 10 years now and always had deep conversations about these things, about unlocking the code, about what the code is, why we're interested in unlocking the code.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of a little bit rare to find other people that were into self-development as much, you know what I mean? And that's why it was so fascinating that kind of we didn't find as many people that were doing that. Yeah. So we had kind of a running joke for a few years, like, oh yeah, we should start a podcast. And then one day we just said, why don't we actually start a podcast?
Why aren't we doing this?
And within about 4 days that we, our first episode was live.
Yeah, right. So, and why Meta Minds? Why?
Yeah, we had an interesting kind of journey figuring out a name. Yeah.
Again, we had a couple of like cool names.
But we did, like, yeah. We had a few really cool names. But I don't know, MetaMinds just stood out to us. Like, it was just something that just rolls off the tongue. It's MM. Mm. It's something that just really works with the logo, with the brain. Mm. And we just kind of came to it after researching what was out there because we didn't want to have a name. I can't even think. We had a really good name, whatever it was. And then we looked online and there were about three other people within a similar space.
Yes.
And we were kind of like, oh, we don't want to jump in with the same name. Mm. And then when we looked up MetaMinds, there was nothing out there. And we were kind of like, love the name.
So now anywhere we rank number one.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's it.
It's the same with the name.
It's the same with mine, right? Unlocking the code. You know what I mean? You look good unlocking the code into Google.
Mm.
Unlocking the code comes up. I didn't pay for any of that. Yeah, it's just that when I looked at that name, I registered it the same within the hour. I was like, hang on a minute, I'm going to need to register this as a podcast as soon as possible because, you know, it's catchy.
I'm
surprised it wasn't taken. It's such a good name.
I know. Yeah. And then UTC as well, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I've got some logo designs for UTC and all that sort of stuff, you know what I mean? So it's fascinating, you know, I suppose. So you, how many episodes are you guys in there?
Like we've probably got
24 or releasing like 25 this weekend.
Yeah, right.
We've got like another 10 under the belt.
Yeah. I've got one in the bag and I figured I'd probably release this one next, I would say.
Yeah.
What have you learned so far? What would stand out for both of you, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, we've chatted about this kind of in depth as well because we've had, as we mentioned before the podcast, we've had such an opportunity to learn from people we wouldn't get the opportunity to learn from without doing this.
Yeah.
And it's like every person we ask, hey, do you want to be on a podcast, regardless of their follower count or their position or their financial position, whatever, no one said no yet.
Yeah, so it's
fascinating. People are very interesting. Everyone wants to you know, get their ideas out there and spread positivity, which is fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, we could go into specific things that we've learned, I suppose, but it's just, I think something that's great is that we've been able to connect with like-minded people that want to push themselves and other people forward, which we need more leaders in this day and age. And I think going back to what you mentioned before, podcast, this is such a fascinating medium because it's like, there's so much short form content and different kinds of content on YouTube and that kind of thing. But with this kind of content, obviously, you know, it's a new phenomenon to have all information ever accessible in your pocket. But now all information accessible in your pocket, you can listen to doctors that actually tell you everything that they've learned in their 50-year career on a podcast that they just record on the phone.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're choosing to watch cat videos on YouTube, not that I don't do that. Very occasionally I'll do that. You know, it's about balance. But yeah, I mean, when that information is out there, like I'm just so drawn to that content and that's where relentless self-development comes from, I suppose.
Definitely, one of the biggest things for me was, because I've been on the internet putting myself out there for a while now.
Okay.
And that was something that really helped me get through high school and not really having friends. And I found like I found a bit of a place online.
Yes.
But I never really showed my true self in my videos because I'm doing reviews of technology, right?
Right, right.
So when I came to the podcast forum, it was fascinating to me because I remember the first two episodes, I watched them back and I had this like overwhelming anxiety come over me where I'm like, wow, I'm actually showing a lot of myself. I'm talking openly about things that I've spoken with friends about, but never in this forum.
No.
So I was actually going to lead that on to you. Like, did you have those kind of thoughts when you started releasing, and have you kind of evolved since then and changed what you share now?
Oh, absolutely. I think the thing is, over 80 episodes, you know, when you kick back and realize that there is, 200-odd hours of me online, you know, riffing and, you know, postulating to the universe, basically. I suppose I went into it wanting to share, you know what I mean? And from it, because of the stuff I was sharing while I was teaching, I was very open. There's very few things that I won't share, you know, some of the close family stuff and stuff like that, like I won't go there. However, anything to do with myself, I'm quite open to share any of it. And I've sort of done that from the start. I think what I've learned is effectiveness of communication and how to talk to people. You know what I mean? Like if I listen back to some of the first episodes that we did, we're sort of talking at each other and sometimes over each other. And you know what I mean? We didn't quite have
flow.
And I think if honest, I was trying to, you know, at times dominate the conversation because, you know, it was my podcast, that sort of stuff. However, what I've learned is just to kick back and feed questions at people, you know what I mean? And I think what that comes from is that I listen to so many podcasts, you know what I mean? And I'm like you. It's like I'll listen to hardcore history and learn about the fall of the Roman Empire and all that sort of stuff, but then I'll listen to comedy podcasts and just have a laugh, you know what I mean? Like you can be serious, but I think part of my podcast listening and YouTubing is actually trying to learn how to be better. And I think that's, for me, podcasting is a passion project, and I think that's what makes me want to continue on. You know, that's why I got in touch with you boys. I like what you guys were doing. I could see you guys were expanding and doing something different to what I was doing, and I thought, hey, let's connect. You know what I mean? I think, and the fact that we can do this and be honest, you know, it's important to be honest. I think, like we spoke about before the podcast, with men, we're not honest. You know what I mean? We're not honest with ourselves. At times, we're not honest with each other. Unless you find yourself like you boys, you know what I mean? You boys that sat in this room and probably opened yourselves up to each other. So, you know, you understood each other. But in general, men don't do that. So my intention from the start was to be open, you know. If I was to try and capture anything that I've learned, it is the art of conversation. And the more that I do it, the more I love doing it. I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The more I learn.
And the more I learn. And I think I'm at the stage now with the podcast where I want to expand. I want to get more guests from different walks of life and stuff like that to see. Because you're right. If you approach someone, they say yes. Because they want to be part of it, you know. And I think the relentless self-development, like you guys said, is that, you know, 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, I have conversations with random people on the street about ancient megaliths and self-development and mental awareness and all that sort of stuff, whereas 5 years ago you wouldn't have those conversations.
No.
So, you know, I do believe that this podcast medium is actually what is driving it and it is opening everybody up. And I don't know what you boys, it'd be an interesting question. You guys are a bit younger than me. Do you think there is a growing movement? Do you think there is a – or is it that we're in our own fishbowl?
I personally think that's an interesting question because for me, I'm not an avid podcast consumer, which is interesting because I run a podcast with Eamon over
there. Get onto it. Come on.
But I'm massively into audiobooks, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Similar kind of, you know, vein. I'm still trying to educate myself and develop.
Yeah.
But I've been watching a few different things on the evolution of podcasts.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see that now that cars are more connected with Bluetooth and that smartphones are more, you know, readily available for people out there, it seems to be that next frontier where it is a lot easier. There's not as much data use compared to like a YouTube video.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's that long form raw content where you really truly get to see someone normally unfiltered. Like our episodes aren't edited. Very rarely do we cut anything.
You know, yeah,
unless
we're the
it's
same,
a screw up at the beginning.
Yeah, we're the same. Yeah.
So that to us is like so raw and authentic and it's true, right? So yeah, I think it's like you said, I think it's something that people need. We need connection, right? Like, and we're not getting that from conventional social media.
No.
At all. Like we're not getting this raw communication, especially about men's health for most of the...
And you feel like you're a part of a conversation. You know, you mentioned Joe Rogan. He was the original that did video, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same. Like, instead of watching a TV show late at night before, you know, 30 minutes before I'm going to go to bed and I just need to, like, zone out or whatever, chuck a Joe Rogan on. Not like an MMA one, something that's kind of interesting. But again, it will vary depending on what you're into kind of thing. And you kind of feel like you're a part of the conversation. Like, obviously, if you're talking at your computer, everyone thinks you're crazy, but no one sees me do that, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? In terms of the connection thing, like, it makes you feel connected because it's having an actual conversation, not like a piece of media that's curated to be like, yeah, this like really nice piece of media for you to consume. It's unfiltered and it's raw, you know?
Absolutely. I think one of the best compliments that Unlocking the Code has had, and we've had it a few times now, is that I've had guys contact me and go, the best thing is that I feel like I'm in the room with you guys.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, because it's unfiltered and because there's no, it's just a couple of blokes or, you know, two or three blokes having a chat. You know, a couple of guys said to me and said, I love your podcast because it feels like I'm in the room. And I think that that's probably the best compliment that we could ever get. Excuse me.
Yeah, and going, like, building on both of the points that you guys just made there, like, podcasting is a self-development tool, basically. You know, like you mentioned, it was hard to for the first few episodes. And to me, like, I didn't even think of it. We just kind of acted. And then it took a few episodes for me to actually look back and go, oh, right, I'm actually really putting myself out there. And the other kind of awkward but funny thing is that I know that all these people, like, actually see what I'm doing online, whoever it is that interacts with me or sees what I'm doing, like, I'm putting this out there and I know that they see it, but they don't interact with it and they don't tell me that they interact with it. And I know that, you know, people watch what you do, you know, and people look at, people stalk you, like social media stalking or whatever, but then they keep it to themselves and then they talk about it. You know what I mean? And that, like, instills fear in your own mind because obviously everyone's afraid of what other people think about them. And yeah, it took a couple of episodes before I was like, oh, wait, hold on. Like, I'm actually throwing out everything here. And when we got to episode 11, we talked about struggles or whatever it was, whatever episode that was, like, we got super raw in that episode, like, talking about, yeah, how we got to our position, basically. Yeah. And yeah, it kind of made me realize, you know, there's other complications, like, you know, if I'm going for a job interview somewhere or whatever, and they're like, oh, well, here's you talking about X or whatever, and like, there's other little things. But when it comes down to it, it's another tool for us to develop, which is really fascinating, whether you're just a listener or you join in the conversation.
I think the interesting thing is too, I think for myself, is that, and I know a few of the guests have said this, is that once you get over the microphone, a lot of the guys that I've had on, they ended up sharing more than they thought they would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we stopped the conversation. That was actually really good for me. However, I said a lot of things that I didn't think I would say. However, I think the rawness of that content is what makes it pure, you know? And blokes in general, if they are searching out guys like yourself, MetaMinds or mine, Unlocking the Code, and we are raw, that provides that connection, like you say. Because, I mean, the problem with technology is that the ability to do what we're doing now is amazing, totally amazing, and it has connected us on a global scale. However, individually, we are disconnected. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when I was a kid, we had barbecues on the street and, you know, we go and play with the neighbor kids and all that sort of stuff. Most people don't even know their neighbor's names anymore.
Yes. You know? It's scary,
the,
really.
You know, and the lack of tribe and the lack of understanding and the, you know, the lack of contact, you know, because it's all done through the phone now, you know what I mean? Like, it's the podcasting is providing that, you know, and I think, you know, one of the reasons I reached out to you guys is like, well, you know, let's spread the wings of Unlocking the Code and, you know, MetaMinds, because I like what you guys are doing, because that brings the communities together. You know what I mean? I think that's ultimately what I would like to do, is do, you know, proper live podcasts, you know, like in a auditorium or something like that, actually get the tribe together and do something together, you know, and then they can meet face to face, and then they can, you know, they can then it's more than just, you know, in the earbuds or in the car.
Yeah.
You know, they're actually meeting like-minded people.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's, like, to dive deeper on what you're saying there and switch gears a little bit, this connection thing is plaguing the planet with, and, you know, like, for females and males.
Absolutely,
and, like, the whole community, like, when you think about it, and we have an episode on primal psychology, like the way we grew up, we're supposed to be in a tribe of 150 people that we know intimately.
Yep.
And, you know, like, we sleep in different people's houses or in different people's caves or whatever it is, you know, or in the same room and stuff like that. Like, it was very, very intimate. And over X amount of years, we're such separate creatures now, and it's not in our nature. And Johann Hari's book, Lost Connections, is pretty much all about this, and which is obviously the, like, a big recent hype. And it's scary to hear some of the stats that he rifles off in that book, that we're so disconnected, and depression, anxiety, and all these different things are coming from a lot of different things, and connection is obviously the main one. And then we're like, just the antidote is give them antidepressants, which are proven not to actually do anything, basically, unless you're like 1% of the population. And, you know, it's good that podcasts are like a step in the right direction, but it's like,
for sure,
but it's still not, it's not enough. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's good that you want to push to have more actual physical connection, but I don't know, I guess I'm not really, like, you know, just trying to come up with a theory of how it's possible to, like, how is it going to, society going to be able to get to that place again where it is But we are in that like connected stage. You know what I mean? Like, what's gonna happen? What's gonna take?
Look, it's that's probably a massive question.
Yeah, It's a big social shift.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that the issue is we can't see the forest for the trees, and we won't see the forest for the trees unless some sort of major catastrophe happens.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You talk about the Britons in World War II being relentlessly bombed. Those people would talk about it afterwards as the best time of their lives. Because they had that connection, they were together, they were clearing out the rubble, like it was terrible, everyone was dying, all that sort of stuff. They would go back and do it again.
Yeah.
Because of that connection and the community look after each other. Because when we're down and out, that's when we come together. You know what I mean? Because our animal primal instincts, like you're talking, they kick in. How do we get that? And I suppose that's the big question about this relentless self-development type stuff, is that how do we move it from self-development to, I think, what is Jordan Peterson? You guys would probably on Jordan Peterson as well. Like, make your bed first, look after your house, and then go out to your wider community.
Mm.
The problem is with the wider community, they don't necessarily trust anyone anymore.
Yeah.
Because we've been bred in a paranoid society, So how do we move from where we are now to a more connected society?
I feel like something very significant has to
happen. Something significant's got to happen. There's no other way. The human condition is there's no other way that to have a major shift, something major has to happen, I think it was Ronald Reagan in one of his last speeches before he lost his biscuit was like, imagine we'd all get over our petty differences if we face an existential threat from another planet.
Mm.
Now, all the alien people jump on and go, oh, he knew about aliens. However, I think he was saying that if we could look past.
Yeah, we're in this together.
It's team human, what I mean? Yeah, I think
And it's Western society's push that individualistic mindset where it's like, you do it on your own.
Yeah, yeah.
But to expand on that point that you made, I think that podcasts being adopted in such a big way is that move. That is a slow, it's a big move. It is like Spotify are investing money into it. Like big companies, Castbox, all of these podcast companies are coming out of nowhere and they're growing and getting bigger and more people are consuming.
Mm.
So I think that kind of change is showing the mass are actually showing like, well, we want this.
This is something we really want.
Because it's unedited. I mean, it's quite fascinating. The other day I forgot my headphones, so I couldn't listen. My wife's car doesn't have the Bluetooth audio.
Yeah.
So I forgot my headphones, so I had to listen to the radio.
Oh,
and
no.
It's crap. Oh,
yeah, it's cancer.
I would not want to do that.
It was an experiment, you know what I mean? Yeah, I've got half an hour, let's listen to the radio. And apart from the two or three good songs they played in half an hour, it was like, this is just
toxic.
Like,
right?
How is it still a thing? It's mind-boggling. How is talk show radio from people that are just like, oh, yeah, I was on a reality TV show once and now I'm a radio host.
I don't know
anything significant that happened in my life. What are you doing this morning? Whenever you hear that, you're like, oh, my gosh, is this what people are consuming? And it is. And it's scary.
It is. But on that point that you made before, it's been making me think a lot. The idea of relentless self-development, right, and self-improvement.
Mm.
Again, it's pushing that individualistic mindset. Yeah,
exactly.
And I want to kind of change that taboo a little bit. I don't know how, like whether there's
relentless some community.
Yeah, 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 that's yeah. it. But I don't know how you get that across, because we're trying to do that.
Well, I think that the where it begins is obviously our depression and our anxieties and all that sort of stuff. The answers to fix that are within yourself, right? So that's it. So you must go within, 99% of the answers. I've had a couple of people say, what's the big secret? What have you learned? It's like, okay, well, 99% of everything you need to know is here, here, and here. Nowhere else.
Yep.
You are your own person. You are responsible for all your fuck-ups and all your best things as well. And you got to deal with that. And we have to fix ourselves in order to be confident enough to go out to the wider community. But you're right, it's interesting. How do we shift that? How do we shift it from, because it is very self-indulgent. And the problem is, in a capitalistic society where egos are involved, unless you can separate yourself from that ego, your self-improvement becomes ego-based.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So doing something like this, I mean, with podcasting as well, I think the stats were the start of the year, 43% of podcasts on iTunes hadn't released an episode in 12 months.
There you go.
Right. Right. I don't know if you boys know this, but most podcasts fail before episode 13.
We did actually know that.
We did know that, yeah. We joked about it before we did that episode.
Yeah, yeah, we did as well.
This is it. We're done now.
Yeah. You know, so you've got to, and I look, Frank, he's a good mate of mine, a bit of a mentor. He talks about it. We talked about a state of mind and energy. It's like, how do you apply your energy? You must apply it to yourself. You've got to look after yourself as well. However, and knowledge is power. Have it's nothing if it isn't shared. So that if you whatever you're doing to help yourself, it's your responsibility to share that, you know, and whether or not that person will understand it, that's okay if they don't. You know, we call it planting seeds. Yeah. You know, just I've said stuff to people and they point blank ignore me almost, you know. How interestingly, a few of those people, I run into them 6 months later and they're on the wagon.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not going to take responsibility for that. My ego doesn't sit. I don't care. Mm-hmm. However, maybe that seed worked.
Perhaps, yeah.
Or maybe or maybe something else worked. You know what I mean? Maybe that got a thought process going. And I think if we can all sort of, because the answers are the answers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you boys have found that so far. I've talked to, you know, spiritual healers. I've talked to, you know, fitness guys, all the guys that I've had on, you know, younger fellas. I had a couple of guys from the Descending the Rabbit Hole podcast. They're, you know, good young guys doing their own thing, asking questions. The answers seem to be the answers. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter which path you take, whether it be fitness, spirituality, the end goal seems to be the same.
And getting to know yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the answers seem to be the answers, boys, right?
Yeah.
Know thyself. Don't be a fuckhead.
Mm-hmm.
Look after your people. Look after each other. And be cool. That you know, which is actually the basis of most religions too, which is interesting.
Yeah, and we've chatted about that on the podcast before, is that like, it's so funny with religion, obviously it's been manipulated over thousands of years kind of thing, and the original base ideas are really fantastic.
Oh, they're
great.
Share
great values.
They're great.
And we kind of theorize about how, like, you know, what if religion just turned into like community engagement and every Sunday everyone went to a community. You know, we didn't call it a religion where we worship this thing. We just like decided to come together as a community, reflect on the positive values and how we can be better, basically. And that is kind of a potential solution to what we were talking about earlier. You know, like if everyone had their local community that every Sunday was like, obviously, to this morning we get up, we go see the community because we want to, because we get that interaction and connection and we, you know, reflect and
learn. And that is what religion provides. However, I suppose that it's been so skewed.
Yeah.
But again, the answers are the answers. You know what I mean? The answers that these religions espouse in their core values, not necessarily the book and all that sort of stuff, however, the core values of most religions are correct.
Yeah.
So suppose, you know, with the answers being the answers, and it doesn't matter which path you get on, because the thing is we find identity in our paths. You know, it's like, well, I'm doing this, so that means you're doing that, so that means you're wrong. Well, I don't necessarily think that anybody's wrong. You know what I mean? As long as the goal is the same, gaining multiple perspectives can only be a bad thing. It can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing is that we don't have the answer right now, do we? You know, we don't. The right answer hasn't come up to us yet.
Maybe ever will either. Well, like, it's a constant journey, right?
Yeah, that is. Yeah. Or the right answer is a conglomeration of all the answers.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then being accepting of everyone else's answers. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
As long as we, you know, I saw a sign one of the American elections, I think it was when Trump was being elected, and it was just a sign on the side of the road. It was like, why can't everyone just be cool? Like, how simple but how profound is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, just everyone just be cool.
Just be cool, yeah.
Just be cool. It's okay.
Just accept other people,
you know, like, it's
right. But to challenge that, I feel like if we lived in a fairer society, and, you know, fair is a very touchy word, but, you know, in a society where perhaps we didn't have to work 40 hours a week just to survive, and we're not working our whole lives just to pay off a small piece of land, you know, and that would obviously allow more room and more time for social connections, then it would be much easier to grasp that concept of, yeah, man, I'm just chilling because I only work 3 or 4 days a week. I eat enough food. I can provide for my children, you know, not that I have children, but you know, like it's a fantastic concept and I love what you're saying, but it's a little naive in the fact that it's like the current climate doesn't really allow for that for the majority of people, I feel, anyway.
Oh, look, you are correct, and I suppose that could open up universal basic income conversations, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Have you, I know you had a thought, Dan, about this sort of train that we were talking about.
Yeah, well, because we actually did an episode on truth-seeking recently, which we haven't released.
Yeah.
But that concept to me is interesting because people can stay, you know, naive in their world, or they can believe something, you know, like ignorance is bliss, right? Yeah. And you can kind of stay in your own lane or whatever. And we were talking about how there is so much information out there now that it's hard to kind of align with certain things because if you
it's almost too much
information. It is. Because you can literally have a counter to everything. If you search on Google, there'll be a counter to every single
thing. There's a confirmation bias for everything.
Well, that's exactly right.
And the echo chamber that you were kind of talking about before.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, that's interesting to me within the podcast world because we would be seen as a form of an influencer, right? So we have a little bit of weight to what we're saying.
Yes.
So that's why sometimes when we do things, like I'm constantly ticking in my mind, coming from like a counseling mindset of like, I'll say something, but then I'll go, oh, but there are factors. Like, of course, there are financial factors. There are factors within your family, within your dynamics, your economy. Yeah. And it's hard to kind of give a definitive answer. But I think one thing that kind of transitioning didn't really stand out to me originally, but has kind of come with time, is that both Eamon and myself are emotive males talking about things that are taboo, right? Yeah, things that guys don't talk about.
Absolutely,
And I've always been quite emotive throughout my life, and I've always had negative responses from males for the most part, dominant males.
He cries all the time.
I cry all the time.
It's so annoying. It's... Come over, he's just going to cry on my shoulder. I'm like,
hey. And that's why we started the podcast,
basically,
right?
Basically, so you can cry a lot.
No. But yeah, no, it's just, it's so fascinating to me because I never took it that way. Like I always knew I was emotive and I was true to myself, but this platform has really, I hope, started a shift for like me within the way that I communicate and the way that I express myself. Like I try not to hide, you know, true emotions or feelings that I have, which I think a lot of guys do, right?
Yeah.
So for me, like that was a really eye-opening thing when I spoke to a few people, and it was actually a few girls through my uni course that were kind of like, that's amazing that you're like, actually, like both you and Eamon are being like male figures that are showing this emotive side and being true and authentic. Like that's not common necessarily.
No.
And I guess that didn't stand out to me at first for some reason. Yeah. But
to,
it is.
To build on that, there's not enough like leaders. And it's based off of that thing that you're saying is that guys don't know how to express themselves because they're socially conditioned to not do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's against the way that we're supposed to like act and live or whatever. But yeah, so like, and it's entirely possible to have like, you know, confident leaders that are grounded in their values, but it just happens to be a little bit more rare kind of thing. And it's getting rarer and rarer because guys are getting, you know, less, like they're doing less masculine things as a generalization, basically.
Well, and it's a difficult one, as I say. So I've got 10 years on you boys, right? So we were even more knuckle down, don't cry, go to the doctor.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like you guys are almost, not a generation behind me, but almost, you know what I mean? Yeah. There's a massive difference between how you guys grew up to how I grew up. And it's even more for guys of, you know, that are nearly 40 to, because I was the same, mate. I was emotive. I've been emotive my whole life. I was a weirdo, you know, and for a long time, you know, my name's Triffin, for God's sake. You know what I mean? Like it's a weird name and I was weird with my name. However, to embrace that, and you are right, you can still be masculine and be a leader and be emotive at the same time. A lot of those things don't, supposedly in the past, don't mesh together. And we are rare in that we are doing it. However, and that, to be honest, one of the reasons behind the podcast was when I was teaching, these guys would never say peep during the class, right? And they come up at the end of the week and they go, man, you changed my life. And I'm like, okay, you didn't even say anything to me, you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, if those guys needed to hear what I said, even though it was, you know, tidbits through a logistics course, I need to step up and stand up and speak not for them, but show that I can talk about whatever it is.
Mm.
And then hopefully, like yourself, as you say, you developed yourself through the podcast and that sort of stuff, being open, and I'm sure you have as well, mate. If we stand up and do that as men, then that sets a good example. However, definitely, you know, as I say, you boys, you know, just came back from a workout. I did a workout this morning. You know, I spent a day on my fixing my cars the other day. You know, I love my V8s. I love, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like we're not men. It's not that we're not being men and like male things. It's that the stereotypes that we've grown up with,
yeah,
that are, how do we say, they're bullshit.
They are, and they're conditioned into
social conditioning. And Kirsten, yeah, one of our earlier guests, actually talks about, like, she theorizes that it's more of an Australian thing as well.
Absolutely. Because,
you know, in America, they're so unapologetically themselves.
Mm.
And, you know, if you're very flamboyant, like gay man in America, you're still unapologetically that kind of thing. Mm. But in Australia, it's a bit of a like, oh, don't do that, you loser, you know? Mm. And it's like fun and playful, but it obviously still saying negative things, yeah, you know?
One of the things we came up with just in the start of the podcast was the anti-tall poppy syndrome. Because obviously the tall poppy syndrome, yeah, in Australia.
That's what she spoke about.
Yeah. Someone steps their head up, we take it off, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of that, the anti-tall poppy syndrome that we were talking about was if, you know, a guy around you wants to stand up and be counted, how about you stand up with them?
Mm, yeah.
You know, because it's strength in numbers, you know what I mean? Like, the more that we can all stand up and go, hey, this is bullshit, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, don't want to play this game.
I don't want to play this game anymore. Because the thing is, it's like, you know, as you say, you bottle up all your emotions, you either end up inside a bottle, mm-hmm, right? And look, I know what's at the bottom of 5 Jim Beam bottles. It's not the answer. I'll give you that one for free.
Mm.
You know, or you bottle it up to the point where you explode,
do
something drastic, and you
kill
normally
someone.
Yeah, or, and yeah, you normally take it out on someone who doesn't deserve it.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know what I mean. And that's how you end up in trouble. You know, like, so you can be leaders. You can be, and the thing about a leader is, and I've done a lot of leadership. You know, I've worked across Australasia. I've probably 3,500 students. I've led teams that are from all walks of life. It's about leading by example.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that I didn't necessarily want to be in front of the camera.
Mm.
However, However, I saw that for whatever reason, how I was talking and the things that I was saying were getting through to, you know, the blokes that I was teaching. And it's like, okay, well, leadership 101, stand up, you better do it yourself. You know, and the times where I have led teams, you want to get your team or your people to a point where they do it themselves. You know what I mean? Like, I've had a few teams over the years where I'd go to ask them to do something, they've already done it. That's what you want. Because a leader isn't you're not dictatorial when you're a leader.
Yeah, you don't want to be micromanaging, which is what capitalism is.
Absolutely. Yeah, which is the worst part is that you finally get into some kind of workforce after being in school where they're like, do your homework and get good grades on the test or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you enter another environment where someone's like looking over your shoulder and being like, have you done that little thing again? You're right. Like if you know, a huge corporation suddenly adapted that leadership model, imagine the change in not only the people, but their profit margins as well.
Having
some kind of autonomy in your work. And again, to reference Johann Hari, he talks about that in the book.
Yep.
And it's like, to be a little bit like individual and have some leadership in yourself and being taught that and be able to act on that, then like literally everyone wins.
Absolutely, it does. So, and however, the thing is that the conditioning that we have had over the years is that natural leaders are interesting, whether they, and how do you even categorize that? I've led a lot of teams, however, pretty much every time I didn't want to be the leader. It was basically, oh, Triff, can you take care of this? Yes, I can do that. You know, it's like the leader doesn't want to be the leader. Like, I don't necessarily want to be on top. I actually don't. I'd rather do my thing and be part of the movement.
Yeah.
However, because then like yourselves, you know, you boys are stepping up as well. You've seen a need to fill a need, you know. Mm. I think you guys are leaders, you know, and you should be proud of that. And being a leader, it's not about ego. You know what I mean? If every time that I've got an email or someone that's said to me, oh, you know, this is really good. You guys are helping me. You know what I mean? This is amazing. That doesn't feed my ego. That makes, that humbles me.
Drives you.
And and drives me to be better, you know?
Yeah.
So if you can separate, you, and but ego isn't a bad thing. You know what I mean? I think that's there's another massive topic
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not touch it either.
You know, for hours. However, you know, be proud of what you boys are doing. You know what yeah. I mean? I think, you know, that's what, you know, I've listened to four or five of your podcasts and that's why I'm here today, you know? So, and understand that you may cop criticism. Who cares?
Yeah, well, that's it. But like a funny side effect of what we have been doing is that we didn't really think of what any of the, you know, what any... What, anything that would actually happen, we just kind of started taking action.
Yeah, like the implications of it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But we've only had extremely positive feedback from people that have, you know, we didn't go into it being like, we're leaders and we're going to lead and be thought leaders or whatever.
Yeah.
We just know that we have interesting life experiences that perhaps we can share and maybe someone can benefit from it.
Yes,
you know? And exactly. We have, exactly. We're experts in particular fields, which again, yeah, maybe people can benefit from.
Yep.
And the amount of messages we get weekly where people are like, when are you coming on again? When's the next episode coming out? You've changed my life in this. I've never thought about this in this way kind of thing. So it's almost a side effect. Just being able, being confident enough to express yourself.
Absolutely,
yeah. That you become a leader and a thought leader.
Yeah.
And yeah, and you get to actually healthily manipulate people's thoughts and push people forward in a way which we kind of never really thought we would. And we are only like 30 episodes in or whatever. You know?
And you don't think about that.
No, that's not.
You know, yeah, you don't think about that. It just happened. You know what I mean? Like, as say the guys that I've had contact me, it's like, wow, well, thank you very much, you know. And look, I've only had one negative feedback the whole time, you know, and I think that probably comes with the, I'd like to think that that comes with the honesty and the rawness of it, you know, and the fact that I am raw about what I do and what I say, and I'll talk about anything, you know, and it's important. This work that we're doing is very important.
Definitely.
I think it's, you know,
we
need to be, but you can't, There's a quote where it's like, you've got to be serious enough about it. I think it was a football quote or whatever it is. It's like, you've got to be serious enough about it to want to do it, to have passion, have it also understand that it probably means nothing at all as well. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's like, in the greater scheme of things, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, at the same time, you've got to want to do it, you know? And that's why I don't think a lot of podcasts make it past episode 13.
Yeah.
Because you've got a pretty cool setup here, boys, you know what I mean? Like, I've evolved my setup for 2 years.
Yeah.
It becomes something that you want to do, that you, it's almost like you have to do it, for you guys.
Yeah, that's the drive that we have. And it's, for me as well, it's this big thing about actually changing the conversation. And I've been listening to Brené Brown a lot recently, and she talks about vulnerability, right?
Yeah.
And that, I think, is kind of what we're diving into a lot with this social conditioning concept of men not being able to be emotive, not being able to be true to themselves, because that is a form of vulnerability, right?
It is.
You're letting yourself out.
As soon as you're vulnerable, you jump on.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
But like you were mentioning before with the negative comment you've had, I always find it interesting because it could just be they misconstrued it a different way. Like, there was a perception off on their end, or potentially there's an opportunity for you to actually ask them, because Gary Vee is all about, like, the business focus. Gary Vee is all about connecting in the comments and actually going, oh, I'm sorry to hear that you didn't click with this point. Like, can I clarify that?
Interesting,
for you?
Interesting you say that. The negative comment stream that I did have is I had all these boys jumping on, you know, get him. And I didn't. I said, listen, mate, this is, I'm sorry you misconstrued that.
Yep.
And by the end of the conversation, I had turned him around.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome.
You know, and I think that's because I don't, when I, and the thing I think with social media, and after meeting you guys are the same, anything you see in my posts, I would say to your face. You know, anything that I've put in on Instagram or Facebook or anything else like that, that's actually me, you know.
Authentic.
Yeah, it's authentic, you know. And I think that's important, especially in social media space, because there's so many inauthentic, everything's awesome type stuff, whereas there's been a few of my posts where I haven't been awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's not awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's life.
Well, that's
it. You know, it's up and down and round. Like, that's the, you know, it's, you know, it's like this, you know,
yeah.
You
just get so many variables. Just things happen at random times that change everything. Like,
and that's interesting for us because one of the episodes recently that we released was how we've overcome adversity and how we've dealt with struggles.
Mm.
And that one got one of the best responses out of all of our podcasts in the past.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it is relatable. Yeah. You know, like we're not these high almighty figures. Like everyone has struggles. No matter what position you're in this world, everyone struggles.
And if you are in a position where you are comfortable and confident and doing something that you enjoy, then obviously there is so much that got you to that point that when you do come out and talk about all the shitty things that happened leading up to that, then obviously everyone is going to be interested in that, I suppose, for the social dramatic kind of side of it. But also because it's like, we want to know how you ate shit for X amount of years to get to the point where you're so comfortable to be able to be doing whatever it is that you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which people learn and grow from.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, there's that, the meme where it's like, there's a mountain of glass and there's a guy standing on top and they're the only one, I look at him, it's like, well, they didn't see the mountain of glass.
They did. I said that analogy just before.
Yeah. You know, like the hands and knees walking up the mountain of glass.
Yeah.
That's it. And people see them as the triumphant figure at the top, but they don't see the other side.
No,
that's
you don't see anything. And we've got to make sure that we not only share our triumphs, especially within, you know, what you guys are doing, what I'm trying to do as well, we talk about our struggles as well. You can't just be, oh, how awesome is this? In fact, I wonder, I'd be anxious if you boys a bit younger than me, I struggle with feeling awesome.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, the compliments that I've got, I'm a good teacher, that sort of stuff, you know, I've struggled a lot with that. You know, I don't take compliments well, you know, and I don't know whether that's my conditioning as well. I don't know whether, but it's difficult for me to accept a compliment. Like, you know, someone gives me a compliment, oh, yeah, thanks, mate, and don't even register it. Whereas I think that's something that the listeners might feel as well, is that try and register the compliments. If someone gives you positive feedback, you really need to try and feel that.
Yeah.
Especially as men. I don't think we feel it. You know what I mean? It's like,
All good. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, good. Such a fast paced world as well. Like you just move on. But I guess that whole process could be improved with just being grateful for it and taking like a gratitude approach to it, which is something I try to do, but I do agree. I struggle with that. And that's something going through my YouTube career and, you know, having people being extremely negative and then people being extremely positive. It's hard because my emotions are so up and down and I can't grab onto anything and really feel any particular way.
And I think you almost gravitate, you know, if you get 90 good comments and you get one negative comment, what did I do? You know what I mean? Like you don't actually see the positive.
For sure.
You know, whereas we need to see the positive, you know, the silver linings, those sorts of things.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
Push for that.
And push for that. And especially as men, and it's, you know, and it's, you got to say these things because it's diverse, it compliment each other a bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not like, oh, you look so pretty today.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? But it's like, you did a good job, mate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the thing is, blokes, it could be just,
yeah,
that's it.
Well
that's
done.
It. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's all a person
might need. It does make a huge difference.
It makes a huge difference. You know what I mean? Instead of like, oh, what are you doing, dickhead? You know what I mean? Like, if you think about most workplaces, I know you guys are in different industries that I've been in. It's almost flat out abuse the whole day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that sort of negative talk towards each other when you know, but that's the Aussie way, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But those consistent insults about, you know, how you look or what you're doing and all that sort of stuff, we would never admit it. However, that actually.
Yeah, it does. Oh, it does. Absolutely. Yeah.
It gets inside your head.
Because there's banter. Right? It shapes your perception. Banter is healthy, right? Like, Eamon always talks crap on me on the podcast. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I never say it back to him because I have respect. But yeah, so there's that. And then there's that element where, like you said, it's drilled into you every single day in your workplace. And then you'd come home and it'd be a similar thing with your friends like that.
Yeah.
You have no chance to express yourself then.
No.
You can't because it's like they're just going to crap on you again.
Yeah.
But so to like override all of that, the ultimate masculine position, I suppose, is to be so grounded in your values that a positive or a negative comment
doesn't affect
just brushes
you
over you completely.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
you know,
and
you're so stoic in the fact that you are so okay with your emotions and that anything that comes at you, you know exactly where you're at. So whatever someone else is saying is coming from a different point of view, whether it's positive or negative. That being said, what you're saying still has merit in that negative comments they build up and they are going to break you down. It doesn't matter how stoic you are.
Yeah.
But then also on the other side of it, positive comments, even if it's just a tiny bit, like they're definitely going to push you in the right direction. Mm. And again, if you focus on that and just continue thinking about that, what's the word that Melissa used, is where you have thoughts about the future. And it helps you. We're doing it now. We've got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Where you like, you know,
predictions. I'm not picking it up.
Where you like, picture yourself in a future position over and over again. Like,
I don't know the word she used.
When you say something to yourself over and over again, and it's like,
It's like a mantra. A mantra.
Yeah. There's another word for it. Like, but basically self-talk, you know?
Yes,
it's self-talk. You have to master your self-talk. And then it's like when you wake up every day, remember what your mission is and go, you're doing a really good job. Keep at it. It was awesome that you did these three things yesterday. Yeah. Make sure you try and do that thing today.
Yeah.
But if you don't get it done, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and have a social interaction today. You know what I mean? Yeah. And at the end of the day, then sit back and reflect and go, that was awesome. You could have done that a little bit better.
Mm. Yep.
And I think a lot of people don't even have good self-talk, basically.
Yeah. No, they definitely don't. Shit,
why'd you do that, you know?
And I think the thing with this is that in an instant gratification society, because you're right, you want to get to a point, you know, one of the things that I am definitely not great at it, but you're trying to be in an observant state, you know what I mean? Where no matter what happens, you can observe, be in the moment, allow whatever to happen and not react, whether it be emotionally or physically or anything else like that, mentally. Yeah, being mindful. However, in the instant gratification society that we live in, a lot of guys are like, I'll go to a, you know, weekend meditation retreat and I'll be enlightened. You know what I mean? Well, no, it's not how it happens. You know, if you actually listen to the gurus, the first thing is they don't call themselves gurus.
No, the true ones
don't. No, they don't. You know what I mean? Like, no one who is actually a master calls himself a master.
Mm-hmm.
And they will tell you that you'll be working on it until the day you slip off the mortal coil in many, many years to come.
Yeah.
The journey is never ending. Mm-hmm. But just to build on what you're saying there, mate, is that just get up every day and try and do something.
Yeah.
You know, like with my podcast, I try and do something on it every day. And that may only be sitting and thinking about it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
that's still doing something.
Or an Instagram post or something like that.
Yeah.
Just do something.
Mm.
And understand that little things make big things grow. You can't
One step at a time.
Yeah, you can't, you know, jump to Joe Rogan status and have 2 billion downloads a year.
Mm.
Do you realize that's how many downloads he's getting a year?
Give me three or four more episodes and maybe we'll
I'm only getting 1 billion. It's terrible.
Come on, mate.
However, you know, you can't jump to that status.
Yeah.
And you can shoot for the stars if you want. However, take pride in the small steps and the small achievements.
Recognize
and be realistic as well in those goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, it's like, as I say, you know, get up. You know, part of my journey is I've lost nearly 30 kilos of it since in the last 3 years, you know, coming off the jungle virus, you know, and getting my body healthy again. And everyone's like, oh, you know, what do you do? Well, I started with 5 push-ups and 5 sit-ups. That's where I started, you know. I now do up to 500 a week.
Yeah, nice.
But I started with 5 and 5. That is it.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Like, and I just kept going. Just don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have setbacks. You're going to fall on your face. These things are going to happen. You're going to have, you know, with the podcast, you boys will get burnout. You know what I mean? Like, I've had that a couple of times.
Already, been there a little bit now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh. You know,
so much to do.
Yeah, and it becomes work, and then you've got to back off and actually remember why you're doing it, and make it about the passion and the reasons why.
Yep.
But just don't stop. And it doesn't matter if you want to knit doilies. It doesn't matter if you want to do a podcast. It doesn't matter if you want to, whatever you want to do.
Yep.
It's cool. Just be cool. Look after yourself. Look after your loved ones, and you know, team human. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. And I think. The thing I'm really getting from that is self-care, like to actually care about yourself, because it's good to set goals and it's amazing to go like, I want to achieve this. But if you don't achieve it, the worst thing you can do is beat yourself up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because then you're just not going to want to do it again. Like, you've got to be careful in that process and go, okay, Dan, you didn't do it today. That's all good. There's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, but then obviously the opposite of that is that you just keep justifying it every single time. So there is a little bit of accountability.
You've got to watch the negative
The negative loop.
Right? So go, I didn't do it yesterday, so stuff it, I'm not going to do it today.
Yeah, well,
and then, if, then there's a week gone, you haven't worked out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or there's a week gone, you haven't done anything.
Yeah, so there's some discipline to it, but self-care throughout that process.
Well, discipline equals freedom, boys. Yeah. You know, I know we're coming to the end.
That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
I know we're coming to the end. I think obviously we'll have, this is only our first podcast. I don't think it's going to be our last one.
Yeah, no.
Discipline equals freedom. You know, that was probably one of the so big true. Things that I got. Obviously, that's Jocko Willink. You know, he's, if you haven't looked at that, guys, the listeners, discipline equals freedom. It's like a 2-minute, 3-minute video on YouTube. It's unbelievable. However, it does. If you can apply discipline every day to something, it'll give you freedom. Whereas, again, we've been conditioned that discipline is punishment. It's not. Mm. It's not punishment. If you can apply discipline to something, and it doesn't have to be working in, it doesn't have to be, as I said, you want to knit a sweater. You know what
that's
I mean?
It or just read a couple of pages in a book.
Read a book.
Yeah, like, that's it.
Do a jigsaw puzzle. It doesn't, there's literally doesn't matter what it is. You know,
yeah.
If you can apply discipline to something, A, you'll get better at it. B, you'll feel better about it. And C, it's freedom.
Mm. Yeah. So to round it out, I think, you know, to take it to that next step, like once you do have that discipline in place, and it doesn't have to be like amazing, you don't have to be like the buffest guy in the world or whatever it is, you know, you apply that discipline to yourself.
Mm.
And when you have a bit of a management of like wherever you're at and you're consistently growing, then you can start to think about how you can, you know, apply this discipline and go out into the world and do something for yourself today, and then also do something for the community.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which then brings your self-fulfillment and also people closer together.
Yeah. I think the more that you want, the more you can serve your community, the better you'll feel and look after yourself at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Anything else to add?
No.
Gnarly. Well, yeah.
Good on you,
as I said, like, I'm sure we'll do this again.
Thank you.
No worries.
No, thank you. Cheers. Thank you. Good on you, boys. Thank you.
In a field of paper daisies, the gentle breeze made the